How many of you know what the dreaded yellow pad is? Let me tell you about the dreaded yellow pad. This is what Pastor Dave uses to torment the people back at the prayer center. When he gets these grand revelations, he'll write it out on one of those yellow pads. You know what I'm talking about? And then what he does, he starts running through the church looking for someone so that he can read it to them. Well, since he's the pastor, who says no? So it doesn't matter how busy they are, they act interested. And they look at him with rapt attention, just waiting for this revelation. There's one fellow there at the church, Derek Eha. He's a wonderful friend, just a blessing. He's kind of used to it by now. And Pastor Dave can tell when Derek is at the point of saturation. Like, you know, I got a lot to do here today. Can you hurry up with this revelation from the Lord? Well, anyway, Pastor Dave has his dreaded yellow pad, but I have the dreaded yellow printout. And I'm going to share it with you today. Let's see, how does it start? Dear Tim. No, it doesn't say Dear Tim on the printout. I'll let Pastor Dave keep that one. What I want to share with you today is something that God has helped me with over the years. And you can be opening to Matthew chapter 17. You know, I was raised in church to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But what I was not raised to do was to live a faith life. And then when Kathy and I met, we started attending a church, what some people might call a full gospel church, a spirit-filled church, kind of like this one. And that's where we began to hear about the Word and faith message, living by faith. We were introduced to a world of faith preachers, and I'd never heard of them before. But I was so hungry and so excited about, really, like I'd walked into a whole new dimension of Christianity that had been out there, but I didn't know existed. And I was just like a sponge. I mean, all of these faith preachers, you know, I wanted to get everything they had, and I wanted to listen, I wanted to learn more about this. A lot of what I heard was very, very good, and it was right on. A lot of what I heard, let's just say it needed some tweaking. But see, I didn't know that at the time. Nevertheless, we heard so much about living by faith, walking by faith, and being, you know, faith men and women of God, and all these things that we could do by faith. And boy, you know, we got pumped up at times. I mean, we were ready to take on the world and change the world. We were ready to go out and do things that just would astound everybody out there. And when the lost saw it, they would come running to the altars to get saved. And, you know, well, that's what we had in our minds. Well, we'd leave the services, and then we'd try to live by faith. And guess what? We lived more by failure than faith. Then we'd get frustrated. Oh, we'd come back into church, and we'd hear another faith message. It's like, yeah, it really does work. Well, we can do this. You know, I'm going to go out there, and boy, you just wait and see. I'll grab the devil by the tail and shake him and twist him, and I'm... So we go out, you know, we put our righteous, bold as a lion faces on, and we'd get out there, and sure enough, man, glory to God, failure. Thing is, we knew the preachers couldn't be wrong because we were reading these things in Scripture. So, you know, it got confusing, and if you'll be honest with me, it's been confusing for you too. Because we know we're supposed to live by faith. You know, just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We know these things. And so we make a determination, that's what I'm going to do. And as the Lord was dealing with me about this, He began to show me some things about faith. It wasn't that I hadn't heard it before, but He, you know, came in from a different angle. And He began to show these things to me. It's been quite a while back, but I want to share them with you today, including a specific word that He gave me about all this. And I'm hoping that by the end of this message, you're understanding more about what living by faith really means. Because just the fact that you say you're living by faith, it doesn't mean you're living by faith. It means your intentions are right. It means your attitude is right, but it doesn't mean you're doing it. And, you know, I was talking to the Lord about this message today and sharing it, because quite frankly, I've had a lot of this that I'm going to share with you. I've had it around now for a couple of months, and I wasn't sure, do I wait till the conference? Wait till the conference. This message today that I'm going to share with you, I'm telling you now, if you'll open your eyes to receive it from Scripture, it's going to help you to receive everything else that's going to happen the remainder of this conference and from this conference on. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, look here in verse... Well, before we get to the verse, let me kind of give you a little scenario. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they come down the mountain, there's a man that had brought his son to the other disciples. And his son had a devil. And he had asked the other disciples, you know, can you get him healed? Get this thing cast out. And they were trying. Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, I sometimes try to envision what was happening. So here these guys are. They've been hanging around with Jesus, and they've seen Him do all kinds of miracles. They've seen all kinds of people get healed by His touch. So here these guys are. It's like, well, we can do this. And so they're trying, get healed. Be healed. Come out. In Jesus' name. And praise the Lord. Failure. I mean, it didn't work. Well, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they come down the mountain, they see all this. And Jesus, you know, He asked, what's going on? And the man came up to Jesus and he said, look, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples to try and get him healed. He's got a devil and here all these bad things happen, but they couldn't get him healed. You know, can you help? And basically, Jesus just said, yes. And so He cast this thing out just like that. And the guy is healed. The man's son is healed. Well, in verse 19 of Matthew 17, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? How many of you have asked the same question? Why couldn't I get him healed? Now, maybe out loud, verbally, you haven't asked it. And maybe you haven't gone to your pastor and asked it. But on the inside, aren't you asking that question? I prayed for them. Why didn't I get healed? Well, that's what's happening here. And it says that they came to Jesus apart, which means they got alone with Him. And I'm guessing that the reason they got alone with Him was because they suspected the answer they were going to hear was not one they wanted everybody else to hear. Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus looks right at them and says, because you haven't sown a seed. No. He says, because of your unbelief. Thing is, these guys didn't think they had any unbelief, did they? Because if they knew they had unbelief, they'd have never tried in the first place. And He says, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And as I was reading that, the Lord spoke up and He said, you can have both faith and unbelief at the same time. But the unbelief must eventually be purged. And He says, because of your unbelief. Now, I don't know about you, but speaking from the perspective of a pastor, there have been folks who have spoken with me about, you know, I prayed for Uncle Bob and he didn't get healed. I just don't understand why Uncle Bob didn't get healed. Why didn't Uncle Bob get healed when I prayed for him? And I know the answer. The answer is the same thing. Because of your unbelief. Thing is, I haven't met too many Christians, and I mean this seriously now. I haven't met too many Christians who've come to me with that kind of a question, why didn't they get healed, to where I could look at them and give them the answer, because of your unbelief, and not get hit, or not get yelled at, or not have them walk out of the church and never come back, because they don't think they have the unbelief. And neither do we, right? But Jesus says, look, if you deal with the unbelief, and you end up having faith as a grain of mustard seed, then what's going to happen is, you can speak to this mountain, it's going to be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, there's your answer. But there's another couple of places we want to look at right here at the very beginning. Look over in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. The Lord says, and this is another, we're kind of right in the middle of an event with the apostles and so forth, but the Lord says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So here we see another thing about faith. And, you know, a moment ago we were talking to mountains and casting mountains out. Now we've got sycamine trees and speaking to mountains, or sycamine trees, and casting them out and so forth. Now look over in Mark chapter 11. I mean, if you're going to talk about faith, sooner or later you got to get to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus says, have faith in God. Well, how many of us don't have faith? If we didn't have faith in God, would we even be here today? Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So we've been told by Jesus himself, look, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be gone. You can speak to the sycamine tree will be gone. Whatever you say, nothing shall be impossible, on and on, all of these things. And so what do? We say, yes, amen, that's right. These things are true. And we make a decision, we're going to believe it, right? And we make a decision, this is how we're going to leave. So we start, or we're going to live. So we start looking for sycamine trees, symbolically speaking, you know what I'm saying? Start looking for mountains. It's like, bless God, ain't nothing going to stand in my way. I'm a child of God. Washed in the blood, born of the Almighty, hallelujah. Be gone! And then again, failure, and it doesn't happen. So we go back and we read, and sure enough, these verses are still in our Bible. The words haven't changed, it's all still in there. And so we go running out looking for more stuff to, you know, cast out and heal, and it doesn't work. And we don't know why. And then some Christians, they get all upset and frustrated. They don't come back to church. They want to accuse the faith preachers of being liars. How can you be a liar when you stand here and you read what Jesus said and you say, okay, Jesus said this, therefore it has to be true. Let's live like it. How can you be a liar? How can you be wrong? Well, you're not. So it isn't that I'm wrong in pointing this out. There must be something else going on. Well, let's keep digging here. In Mark chapter 1, I want you to see something. And this is a key to help you understand this. Mark chapter 1, and look here in verse 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this right here is the answer to the majority of the faith problems that we have. When I say faith problem, I'm talking about lack of results. And by the time we're done here today, you're going to see this. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Notice what it doesn't say. I want you to tilt your heads down a little bit and look in your Bible. I want you to see what it doesn't say. It does not say the gospel of salvation. You see that? You say, well, what's the difference? We've already figured out part of the problem in you, if you ask that question. It's the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is a part of the gospel of the kingdom. But the gospel of salvation is not the totality of the gospel of the kingdom. And therein lies the problem. We read that and we say, well, praise the Lord. I believe you must be born again. That's not what he said. The gospel of the kingdom. Here's the difference. Until you get born again, you are not in the kingdom. The faith that Jesus is talking about, it's kingdom faith or it's born again faith. It's not faith. You say, well, what in the world do you mean by that? I'll show you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. See, when I was raised and I first started hearing all about faith, living by faith, and we read the verses where I've just shared with you and all this, we would eventually end up over in Hebrews chapter 11. And they'd be talking to us, I mean the preachers would be saying, now this is the hall of fame of faith. And we need to take a look at these people and, you know, see how they live their lives in faith. Now look here, we won't read the whole chapter, but I'm going to point some things out to you. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like, hallelujah, you can't preach about faith unless you hit Hebrews 11, 1. And so what we do is we get into, you know, and I've done this myself, you know, you break down substance in the original languages and things hoped for and all, and it's not wrong to do that. It's not at all wrong to do that. But this verse 1 is the introduction to a kingdom message. And he says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it's like he begins working his way back to the beginning. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? Well, by faith. Now in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That word worlds in verse 3 is not talking about the planets. It's not talking about creation. It's talking about ages, periods of time. And what he's saying is, through faith, there are people who have altered the age in which they live because they trusted in the Word of God and acted upon His Word. And then he begins giving examples of how this happened. He says, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now we're going to be jumping through this. So you go to verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Verse 9. By faith, again speaking of Abraham. Verse 11. Through faith, Sarah. Then you look down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. 21, by faith Jacob. 22, by faith Joseph. 23, by faith Moses. 24, by faith Moses. 27, by faith Moses forsook Egypt. 28, through faith Moses kept the Passover. 29, by faith the Jews passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab. And then, by the time he gets to verse 32, it's like he says, you know what? I can't keep giving you name after name after name after name. This is starting to get a little overwhelming. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell. In other words, I don't have enough time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, you read this, and you're thinking, glory to God, turn me loose. Hurry up and finish this sermon. I'm going to go out there and just deal with some devils. And the way it's preached. Now, if you've ever been in these faith services, they preach it like that to get you all, yeah, praise the Lord. Verse 35, women received their dead to life, others tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And he's going through all of these things. But then he throws out something very interesting in verse 39. And all these, every single one of them, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now let that sink in. Because what he's saying here is that all these things these people did, and he gives all of these incredible stories of how these people did things by faith. Then he closes it by saying, by the way, in spite of all the things that they did do, in spite of the fact that they received a good report, well, who gave them that good report? God gave His approval. God would have given a good report. These guys did good for me. And yet, there was still something missing. Well, you can scratch your head and think about, well, how in the world could anything be missing? All these things these guys did trusting God. And there was still something missing. Look, these guys did things I've never seen in my own life. And yet, it says they didn't receive the promise. What's going on here? Well, it says in verse 40, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What's the better thing? Well, it's our salvation. They trusted God with everything they had. But they could never receive the promise. The promise of what? The promise of being born again. The promise of salvation. The promise of that new nature that we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They never received that. That means their whole lives, from birth to death, their whole lives, they lived by faith, but they did not have a born-again spirit. That means their whole lives, they could never live by born-again faith. In other words, they could never live by the kingdom faith that Jesus was talking about in the four Gospels. But look at everything they did. Look at everything they accomplished. But then he says they never received the promise. And God had something better for us. Something better for us. If you begin to think about this, how that they received a good report and all these things they did through faith prior to Jesus, prior to salvation, do you understand that not only did they not receive the promise, but right along with that, they could never receive any of the blessings that came along with the promise? They were never joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about how that, you know, God didn't spare His own Son, so how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? They never had that promise. They never had those blessings. Now listen, all of the tithes that they gave to open up the windows of heaven still did not provide for them the blessings that came with the promise. Therefore, why in the world would I want to try to keep opening up the windows of heaven when there is a better thing that's been provided for me? I would rather find out what is the better thing instead of continually throwing 10% in the plate and trying to get something that falls short of the magnitude that God has promised to me through Jesus Christ and the better promise. And if I stand up here and I teach you, you better tithe, you're going to be cursed. You better tithe, you're not going to be blessed. If I stand up here and I teach that to you, do you know what I'm doing? I'm not taking you into verse 39. I'm not taking you beyond verse 39 of this chapter. And he says, look, these folks, they received a good report. And it was all through faith. But they never received the promise, and they never received any of the blessings that came right along with that promise. Because God, He's provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, in this verse 1, I can remember growing up, you know, Kathy and I heard these messages where we talk about, you know, well, there's a great cloud of witnesses. And the way that they taught it was that up in heaven, it's like God had some angel, you know, open up a curtain. And there were these bleachers up in heaven. And all these people up in heaven looking down. Well, I believe that. And in my mind, I'm, you know, it's time to take a shower. I'm thinking, I hope he's got that curtain closed right now because I'm getting a little self-conscious here. Those thoughts went through my mind. And that's what we were, you know, they're up there in heaven. Go, Jim, go. Yay, Jim! Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. That's me. But that's not what it means. This whole thing, a great cloud of witnesses, it's like, it's a court term. We've had this great procession of those who sat on the witness stand and testified as to how worth it is to trust God no matter what. Now let me say it like this. They testified how worth it was to trust God and live by faith even if you couldn't get the promise. And then he says, let's talk about the better thing. Let's talk about the promise. Let's talk about what we have. Because God's provided a better thing for us. He says, now that we have this better thing, what is the better thing? Being born again. Having God's life in us. Having that new nature in us. Having that born again spirit. Something they could never have. He says, now that we have that, here's what we need to do. Verse 2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, this is a different kind of faith than what the chapter 11 people were living by. They didn't have Jesus to author faith in them, to write it in them. Simple illustration. Remember when God was talking about when this new covenant is established through my Son Jesus Christ, no longer will my word or my law be written on stones, but I will write it on the table of their hearts. I will put my word in their hearts. And they'll be able to live by that which is in them instead of that which is etched in stones before them. He's saying, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we talk about Jesus being the author of our salvation, and that's true. However, God's trying to get across to us right here, look, it's not just a matter that He's the author of your salvation. He is the author of your faith. Something those people in chapter 11 never had. They never had faith authored in them by Jesus. Yes, they had God's promises. They had the Word of God. They had, well, you can read about it in the Old Testament. They had all of those things, but they didn't have the promise. They didn't have Jesus, and they didn't have this kind of faith authored in them. They didn't have born-again faith. They didn't have kingdom faith. And here's the problem. Jesus said, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Not gospel of salvation, that's included in the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom includes, ye must be born again, but the gospel of the kingdom also includes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if I look unto the chapter 11 people, I won't be looking unto Jesus. Therefore, it isn't the chapter 11 people that need to be held up to me as an example. It's Jesus that needs to be held up to me as an example. And chapter 11 is talking about what people did before they ever got born again. And it's like he's saying, if they could do this before they were born again, think about what you can do now that you're born again. Now that you've got the promise. Now that Jesus has offered salvation and faith in you. Think about what you can do. But if I live chapter 11, do you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to keep living, let me say it like this, by lost faith. All those people in chapter 11, they were lost. They weren't born again, but they still had faith. And as the Lord is showing this to me, He said, this is the problem. I look down here at my church, and what I see is a church full of people trying to live by Hebrews 11 faith. They're not trying to live by my faith. They're not trying to live by the faith that I've authored in them. They're not looking into me. They're looking into chapter 11. And we compound the issue as preachers when we keep hammering chapter 11 and don't take us into chapter 12. Because he's saying chapter 11 was good and these people did great things. He says, but now, now that we've obtained the promise, we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now let me read to you what he said, Jesus. He said, I author kingdom faith in you as a sown seed. You must nourish it for growth. This is where the resident anointing lies. This is where such as I have give I thee lies. This is where confirmation to my image lies. It is the place where mountains are moved, the dead are raised, the winds and waves are calmed, and the confessed word of God manifests. And when you think about it, what he's saying here in this is, read the Gospels because that's me. And if you're looking unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith, then I have already set the example in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of what new nature faith, kingdom faith, born-again faith will accomplish. And I've even told you, nothing shall be impossible unto you if you live by this faith. But you can keep living by chapter 11 faith. Well, in fact, listen to what he says. As Christians, you can live all your lives with Old Testament faith, that which you carry over from your lost days. Now think about it. Every one of us, until we're born again, we're the same as those people in chapter 11. Lost is lost. I don't care what century you live in. Lost is lost. And so we're no different than the chapter 11 people until we get born again. And so he says, as Christians, you can live all your lives with Old Testament faith, that which you carry over from your lost days. This is the kind of faith most Christians live by, and why they have so many questions about why did things happen they don't understand. It is why they say things like, I have faith, but it must not have been God's will for it to happen. And how many of us have been there and done that? Well, it just must not have been the Lord's will for them to get healed. Well, now wait a minute. What do I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the example, looking unto my example, If I look unto Him, what do I see when it comes to people getting healed? They got healed. They got delivered. The devil's cast out. In fact, it was just amazing to me. It's like, you know, you ever been to a restaurant? And you sit there. The waitress comes up. Hi, I'm Bambi. I'll be your server today. Can I take your drink? And, you know, here's the menu and all that. Well, you know what? It was like Jesus carried a menu along with Him. Remember, He encounters people. He looks at them and He says, hi, I'm Jesus. I'll be your Savior today. Here's the menu. What would you like? Well, let's see, Jesus. I think I'd like to have my blind eyes open. He said, okay. And their eyes are opened. Anything they wanted, they got. That's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because that's the kind of faith He's authored in us. And it's not His fault if we keep living by chapter 11, Old Testament lost faith. He's already authored it in us. It comes with a new nature. Now listen to this. Born-again faith or kingdom faith can only be resident in the heart of a Christian. Well, that makes sense. And isn't it amazing how we'll read chapter 11 and we put all those people up on a pedestal? It's like, oh, if I could just be like Moses. If I could just be like Abraham. If I could, hey, those people were lost. I don't want to be like David or Samuel or Barak. Those guys were lost. They never had the promise. Praise God, I've got the promise. I want to be like Jesus. That's why the Bible talks about conforming to His image. Not the image of those other people. And so He says, born-again faith or kingdom faith can only be resident in the heart of a Christian. It is the faith that flows from the life, nature, and character of your Father in your born-again spirit. It only comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God, because the Word of God is the same life as your new nature. Now listen, I want you to listen closely to how He said that. It is the faith that flows from the life, nature, and character of your Father in your born-again spirit. It only comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God, because the Word of God is the same life as your new nature. It doesn't say the Word of God has the same life, is the same life. Didn't Jesus say, my words are spirit and they are life? These words are life. It's the same life. And He continues. He said, the Word of God is the 100% source of the release of faith into your born-again spirit. Praying in tongues is building your spirit up on the faith that has been sown into your heart by the Word. Praying in tongues alone can never do for you what sowing the Word combined with praying in tongues will accomplish. And I have encountered a lot of people who seem to think that praying in tongues eliminates the need to read the Word. No. Praying in tongues will bring clarity and understanding of the Word. Now, granted, if you live in a place where you have no access to the Bible, the Holy Spirit's going to help you as much as possible. But you can't just say, well, I'm praying in tongues now, so I don't need this Bible anymore. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for what? Whatever you need. Number one, doctrine. It's profitable. Therefore, I need to get into this Word. Then the Holy Spirit, as my teacher, He begins breaking it down and explaining it to me and getting me out of the doctrinal messes that I've been in all my life. So He says, praying in tongues alone can never do for you what sowing the Word combined with praying in tongues will accomplish. Too many Christians assume that because they are born again, they now have the faith to move mountains and raise the dead. Too many Christians believe that because a sermon has stirred their spirits and moved them emotionally, that they now have the faith to do my works. But being born again is the introduction of kingdom faith in your heart. Hearing sermons only expounds on kingdom faith. In order to develop and live by the fullness of kingdom faith, the word must be sown and you must pray in tongues. Remember, knowing what you can do and knowing your potential in me is not the same thing as being spiritually developed to live up to your potential. And see, I have found so many Christians that because we hear these kind of sermons, this is what we can do, this is who we are in Christ and so forth, we think because we now have heard that, we're ready to get out there and live it. But until it's been developed on the inside, you can't live it. But when we try to live it until it's been developed, and it doesn't happen, the things that we're hoping for don't happen, then we sit around and we want to blame God, get mad at God, we can't figure out what the problem is. You know, the Bible says these things are supposed to happen. Preachers say these things are supposed to happen, but these things aren't happening. I don't know what is wrong with God. I thought he couldn't lie. And God's up in heaven saying, hold on there, bucko. You're not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is two things. Number one, he's the author, but he's the finisher. How does he do the finishing? Well, briefly, number one, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number two, praying in tongues to build yourself up on your most holy faith. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us get built up on this faith we're supposed to live by. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to try and live by Hebrews 11 faith. He's going to lead you to live by Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus even said, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify me. How's he going to glorify me? How's he going to glorify Jesus? Well, one of the ways he's going to glorify Jesus is helping us get past Hebrews 11 faith and living by Hebrews 12:2 faith. Living by born-again faith. Living by kingdom faith. Well, he continued and said, since your Father has clearly said in the Bible that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and that you build yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues, why would anyone even think to question the viability of these instructions? Where is it in the Bible that God has said these things will come to the place of no longer working? Where does Scripture declare that there are alternatives to these things? And I have encountered Christians, and honestly, it does not matter what you show them in the Word of God. I'm talking born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. And it doesn't matter what you show them in the Word of God, they still, and I mean they will argue and refute, they'll do everything they can to tell you they don't need to pray in tongues. That they can get praying in tongues results by doing other things. Look, I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody, but what I'm saying is, if this is what God's established in His Word, how in the world can you come back and say it's wrong? How in the world can you come back and say, well, I don't need that? Isn't that what you're trying to convince your lost friends about, that they need Jesus, and they're saying they don't need Jesus, and you're saying, yeah, but the Bible says you need Jesus, and you can't figure out why in the world they can't understand why they need Jesus? Well, we're here trying to figure out why in the world you can't figure out why you need to pray in tongues. Because if God said it in His Word, guys, it's there. And you need it. You can't refute the results you get from praying in the Spirit. You can't refute the results you get from sowing the Word of God. I mean, think about this. Before you were born again, you had a capacity for faith. That's proven all through the Old Testament. But the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at that moment, the power of God moved upon you, and that old sin nature was removed. And in its place was given to you the life and nature and character of God, a born-again spirit. Now, we know we'll never be God. We understand that. But you were given this born-again spirit. Now, get this. When that born-again spirit, that new nature, was released in you, in it was a chamber called faith that had never existed in you before. That chamber now is the container of kingdom faith. And the more that we get into the Word of God and sow it into us, and the more that we pray in the Spirit, All that faith is being developed. All that kingdom faith, all that born-again faith, it's being developed on the inside. So that what Jesus said will come to pass. Remember? He said, look, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. And people want to fuss and argue about the greater works. Listen, guys, I'd rather get involved with the works. Why worry about, you know, well, is it greater this and greater that? And I've taught on what the greater means. Pastor Dave's taught on it. The point I'm getting at is this. People overlook doing the works like they're already doing the works. No! Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and Jesus turns around and says, look, if you believe me, if you'll take me at my word and you'll act on these things, then you need to understand nothing shall be impossible to you. You will be able to do the works that I have done. You will be able to open the blind eyes. The deaf ears were opened. The devils will be cast out. The lame will walk. The maimed will be made whole. You'll raise the dead. That's what it's all about. But if you keep trying to live by Hebrews 11 faith, you will get results to a certain extent. But you're not going to get kingdom faith results. You're not going to get born again faith results. In fact, he said that here. Listen, you can live by Old Testament faith and indeed have limited success. But if you want to have the kind of success I have identified and demonstrated before you, then you must choose to live by the faith that I authored in you. I want you living by the faith you see operating in and through me in the Gospels. This is the kind of faith that truly pleases your Father. This is born-again faith. It is kingdom faith. Praise God. And see, I look at this and I'm thinking, I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of trying to live by Hebrews 11 faith. I'll be like Abraham, I'll be like Moses, I'll be like Sarah. Well, man, I'll be like Sarah. I will be, you know, all these people in there, yes, oh, I'll be like them, I'll be like them. And God's in heaven said, no, those are good examples, but I want you to be like my Son. I want you to be like your Savior. That's why I said, look unto Him. The author and the finisher of your faith. It's a kind of faith that those people in chapter 11 could never live by. And he says, but now that you're born again and you've got that promise, guess what? Look to Jesus. He now is your example. This is what you can do. But it's been authored in you. You're going to have to take it beyond the authoring. And now it's your responsibility to sow and to sow, and to sow, and to pray, and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Your Hebrews 12:2 Jesus faith, your kingdom faith, your born-again faith. And you're going to start seeing the results. And this is why we haven't seen the results that we think we ought to be getting. It's because we're not developing the faith that has been authored in us. It's there. It's in there. It came with your new nature, praise God. It's there. Now I just need to sow some seed, get, you know, fertilizer in there, and then pray in tongues and let those rivers of living water water that seed. And pretty soon it begins to grow. And then, whoop, there's the fruit of healing. There's the fruit of blind eyes open. There's the fruit of the deaf ears open. Oh, there's the fruit. Got a dead person raised. Glory to God. I'll pick some more of that fruit. Hallelujah. And then you know what happens? People look at you and say, what is it about you? And you can say, well, let me tell you about what it is about me. It's all about Jesus. It's what He's done for me. By the way, He'll do it for you too. Glory to God. Looking unto Jesus and living by that born-again faith. And the rest of this week, you're going to be hearing so much teaching. You're going to be hearing so much word. Start looking at it from a gospel of the kingdom perspective and how it impacts you on a spiritual level so that you will develop into that place of conforming to the image of Jesus and doing His works.